Oasis Podcast Episode 30, Digsy and Oasis A to Z Part 2, Get Off Your High Horse Lady.
Once described to me as it's, you meet him, it's like opening a bag of monkeys.
I dedicate this next song to that young lady there. How old are you? 14 almost, or 13? You're 13. Don't try and bring it, 13. What's her name? Natalie. I'm gonna dedicate this next song to lovely Natalie, 13 years old.
Episode 30. We've got loads of cool stuff this episode. The main thing, I suppose, being an interview with Digsy, Peter Deary, which is really good fun. He's a very entertaining chap, as you might imagine from the various times you've seen him on stuff related to Oasis. We have got a bit more of the interview I did last time with Michael Hart, the Aussie guy, where we talked about Get Off Your High Horse Lady as the next part of our ongoing Oasis A to Z series, because brackets, Get Off Your High Horse Lady is next alphabetically. And we have got your reaction to Fort Knox from Noel, and we've got Liam news. He's put out Spotify stuff, and he's booked tickets for Finsbury Park, and he's won Q Awards, and there's a lot going on. So where do we start? So let's start with your reaction to Fort Knox. So the latest track from the Noel Gallagher Who Built the Moon album was dropped yesterday, which was Thursday the 26th of October. It was a track we'd heard of a little bit of before in that sort of album trailer thing that he released. But he released the rest of it. So let's have a little bit in here. I put it out on Twitter yesterday. If you reply to this tweet with your views on Fort Knox, I'll read them all in the episode. And I didn't expect it, but I had about 60 replies. So strap yourself in. I'm going to go through all of them, as I promised, to get a few people a few shout-outs. Michael Hart, so you've heard of him before, said, sounds immense. Think it will be even more so when we have it on record. Think he had this scope long ago but wasn't able to articulate till now. Also, don't think it's really a single in the way Holy Mountain was. Surely it's just a teaser before the album. There's that quote about trying to jam to NWA during the Be Here Now era and the others not getting it. Sounds like he went back to that idea. Ben Brown, Ben underscore Brown 9, said, gotta get yourself together part is really good. Would be better with more vocal. My guess is that it's his new walkout instrumental. He also said, don't get why it's a single. It's not a song that's going to get much airtime or sales, trying to prove he doesn't care about the music biz. Fraser McCallum said, don't totally agree, lad. This generation's fucking in the bushes, for example. Daft choice for a single, but in my opinion, a great tune. Noxy pointed out, it's not a single. It's a Beautiful World is going to be the second single. This is just modern marketing dripping out album tracks. Colin Cow said, I know he's trying something new, but get well soon, Noel. Listened to Fort Knox about 7 times. It's actually a good lead-in track, the start of it anyway. Still not a fan of the school bell bit, though. Yeah, that came through a lot. People were sort of annoyed about that bell going all the way through it. It's just so different. I do think there will be a few great tracks on Holy Mountain. I feel LG has kept the Oasis fans happier. Mainly Oasis said Shiny Shite. Parker Monkey, who is Supernova Dragon, said Awful. KT Georgiou said, who is at Cat and Moose, said, I've only just had a chance to listen to it as I've just got home. I actually love it and I didn't expect to. And Remy Vazaluk said, I love it as an album opener, a mix of Noel, the Chemical Brothers and Death in Vegas. I'm pumped for this album. Chris Petey said, finally, Noel goes experimental. The man has an encyclopedic knowledge of the best music. He can now use that to push his boundaries to the limit. It's going to be the polar opposite of Liam's, weird, intelligent and challenging. I love the theory of this album. He will nail it. Scott Mahidi at Hib76, I genuinely don't understand how a man who wrote Don't Look Back in Anger, Live Forever, Wonderwall, etc. can release this. It's a shame. To then slay As You Were is just silly. Nick Amos said, an atmospheric scene-setting opener stroke intro, but it's not really a song, is it? You can come on stage to it, but you wouldn't play it 20 minutes in. Colin Cow came back and said, you get a rest from the bounce and just sing your hearts out with your arms around strangers. Liam Gallagher, As You Were, by a mile so far. Clarky_18_, what a way to open an album, then straight into Holy Mountain, loving it. Another Parker Monkey, which is at 18AN78, said absolute shite. Lawrence Lyons, who is at Lawrence Lyons 1, said, a welcome departure from Oasis, long overdue, keep up those new sounds, Noel. Grandpa Batman said, gave me the same feeling as the first time I heard Fucking in the Bushes, which the same thick music experts, in inverted commas, slagged off at first as well. Philip Gregory, who is at Philip E. Gregory, said, like the groove, but as a tune, kind of underwhelming. Anybody else hearing Stereo MCs connected when NG's vocals come in? Yeah, I can hear that. Freddy at 19Freddy05 said, a kid could make it on a computer. Experimental? No, uninspired. It's a David Holmes record. Dan Snobley said, I think it's what he needed to do. I'm a massive Noel fan, and as much as I would love another Safe album, these snippet stroke releases have given him, in my eyes, even more godlike genius status. I'm all in. Bring it on. Down. Lise, who's at ModMum3, said, I respect, stroke, appreciate the experimentation, but I don't like it. Head says yes, heart says no. Still a fan, that will never change. Donald at DonaldTheDead80 says, definitely going to be intro music live, then straight into Holy Mountain. Naysayers probably moan all he does is play E-7-2. Neil Stridiron said, it's like the Wimbledon-Liverpool FA Cup final, underdog Liam turning over his big brother. Noxy at Noxy said, like it, solid album opener, does what it's intended, excited to hear the whole album in one. Calvin Betton at Calv Betton said, I really like it, but it's definitely more David Holmes featuring Noel Gallagher rather than an NG solo song. Davies H said, interesting, strange choice of track to be released early. Would think it will make more sense in the context of the album. Jury's currently out. Nick Poucher said, at least the, I guess the lyrics aren't pony at least. So that's a reference to the fact that Paul Weller said that the lyrics on As You Were a pony, and this doesn't actually have really any lyrics. David Walker, who is at Dave10Supernova, said, I like it, but it should be a bit shorter. Goes on a bit too long, but got a good groove and interesting stuff going on, but not blown away. Fraser McCallum came back again. Doesn't necessarily suit 3-minute format, but expect bigger things for this track when it's part of the wider record. Mixes will be sumptuous. Leroy Wiltshire, who is at PedroGarcia123, said, if it was an Oasis song, people would be amazed, but at the moment he can do no right in people's eyes. Can you imagine listening with headphones in ya? Mini Parker Monkey, Common Pigeon, at Odio Tutti Menome, said, awful. Chris Burgoyne said, if it's an album filler, then maybe it will slot in the album nicely. If it's a highlight and it's an odd one, alarm's annoying. David Ryder asked, no LG yet, James, so I'll jump in here with the latest on that, I suppose. No, not yet. I had an email back from the guy at Warner Brothers basically saying, we're not doing anything at the moment, but we'll keep you in touch, which I thought felt like a bit of a brush off. So I went back to him again and I said, look, well, come on, like, you know, he wants to do it. Look at this tweet. He wants to do it. He's up for it. And he just came back again and said, no, it's fine. I get that. But yeah, we're just not booking anything at the moment. So no news, but we'll see how it goes. Rob Neal at DJ Rob Neal said, midlife crisis. Jay Stevens, who is at Jack Stevens JSJ, said, with Liam's new venture and Noel's new psychedelic departure, we'll have two very different ends of the same stick to satisfy us, which is a very good point. Alex Kryzan, who is Axi Kryzan, I love it. It's good to be free. He can experiment more. Great for Oasis fans. Would be boring if Noel and Liam's records sounded alike. Andy, who is Andy P. MFC, said, like it. Does sound more like a David Holmes track featuring NG, though. Trevor Duncanson said, I think it's a great track and perfect for this album's opening track. Graham at Spiffo2112 said, people still struggling to separate Oasis from experimental Noel. Times change and Noel's changing. Let it be. Rolex80, who is at Georgie BW, said, who wrote it, Noel or David Holmes? Well, I think Noel wrote it. David Holmes produced it, I'd imagine, but it sounds like David Holmes was very involved in the composition of these tracks. Matthew Power, who is at Matthew Power 2, said, good tune to walk out to. Be interested to know the extent of NG's influence over the final product. Female part sounds like the We Got the Power Girl. Huh, interesting. We'll have to see when the liner notes come out. Evan, at Evan McFarlane, says, starts off well enough. That's about it, really. Sean at Seahol, S-E-H-O-L, sounds like this basically going to be a David Holmes album with Noel providing vocals. Not my normal type of music, but I'll give it a chance. Patrick Ridge, who is at Patrick Ridge, without a K, said, great album opener, will be a boss gig opener. Tez Appleby, who is the underscore ghost dancer, said, the alarm ringing is annoying, but the sound of the jet is cool. Suppose it's as close to the Amorphous Androgynous album as we're going to get. Paul Scholes, at Paul SCH33, said, cool as fuck, the female voice sounds like a South American Icaro. I don't know what that means. LP at L4Mbros says, I think it's good. Always like the experimental Teotihuacan side of Noel. Don't know what that means. The trendy pop stroke later Coldplay stroke Holy Mountain side, not so much. Rolex80 at Georgie BW came back and said, it's 100% confirmed. I'm a Parker monkey. Michael Wadsworth, who is at Michael Wadsworth 2, came back and said, okay, that's all. Or maybe I'm just a common pigeon, one of the Parker monkeys. So I think that's it. Apologies if I missed any of those. And I suppose my takeaway from it, I agree with a lot of those points. I think it's a strong album opener. I think it's got a cool groove to it. I think the bass to me sounds a little bit like Airbag, the first track off of Radiohead's OK Computer. I like all the sounds. I like the soundscapes all going on. I like the psychedelic video that they put out with it as well. So, yeah, all in all, I think it's a really good track. It's an interesting choice to put out. He's clearly defining himself that this is different now. This is separate from Liam's stuff, definitely. And, yeah, as was picked up upon in a few of those comments, Noel this week in an interview called, he said that he was an eagle and Liam was a common pigeon. And then he also said in an Instagram post that the Parker monkeys wouldn't like it, referring to us Liam fans. And so, yeah, so a few people have been a bit put out by that. It's funny, actually. It's like, I hate to compare anything to Donald Trump, but the way that when Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump fans deplorable and they kind of jumped on that and said, yeah, I'm a deplorable then. It feels a bit like that, really, that yeah, we're saying, yeah, okay, I'm a Parker monkey, cool. So, yeah, I'm not saying that Liam fans are Donald Trump fans at all, but it's, it's just quite an interesting comparison. So that's enough of me talking for a bit. Liam was at the Q Awards this week. He won two awards, and he did a brief interview with Absolute Radio while he was there, so let's have a little bit of that now.
All right, we are backstage at the Q Awards. Mr. Liam Gallagher, congratulations. Yes. Two awards under your belts this evening.
Yeah, and I've had 3 months, to be fair, because that Psycho tune by Kasabian is not fucking nowhere near as good as Wall of Glass. And I know they think it is, and I know the people voted for it and all that, but deep down, it fucking ain't. Now, I ain't a greedy person, right, but I'm just letting people know in case they don't know, and Tom knows it, and Serge knows it.
Don't you think their rhyming of Macaroni and Axel Foley was
maybe
inspired?
Maybe that might be good, though. Maybe that might be good, but I'm just putting it out there because it will. If I don't put it out there, I get off my chest.
Okay.
It'll end up ruining my night.
That's good. I'm glad you had.
Than fucking that Psycho tune. End of the day.
Well, I'm glad you had.
Not that I'm saying I wanted an award for it because I fucking don't want an award for nothing. You know what I mean?
Can we start with the best live act?
Don't even want that either. You know what
Why
I mean?
Not?
Because I don't. Yeah, I mean, listen, I've done some good gigs, man, and it's good to get back. And I know for a fact I can shake a room with the right band and the right songs, but I wasn't expecting that, man, to be fair. Even though I'll take it, you know what I mean? But I think the likes of like Storms and whoever else is in that, I think it's out of the kids now, you know, or the next generation to be having stuff like that. I'd be worried, man, if like, you know, I know I'm digging myself out, but I was certainly weren't expecting it. I was expecting the fucking single and obviously the icon thing.
Okay.
So Liam's also released a couple of tracks on Spotify that have appeared. I can't pull them through here, but go and check those out if you've got Spotify. There's a version of Wonderwall, and I couldn't actually believe it was now. I assumed it was a vocal back from the mid-90s. I was just like, what is this? It's brilliant. It's the best I've heard him sing Wonderwall, literally, in 20 years. I thought it was fantastic. So make sure you check that out on Spotify. If you follow me on Twitter, then you will see that I've been helping at Mainly Oasis account, which is one of my favourite Oasis-related Twitter accounts, with some polls. So we're calling it hashtag Ultimate Oasis, and what we're trying to do is find the Ultimate Oasis track. Now, a lot of people do this, and they might pull out sort of 4 different options or 16 different options. We are going for pretty much every Oasis song ever officially released. So I think depending on what you categorise as an official release, like do you categorise Noel Gallagher doing Merry Christmas Everybody on that Radio 1 album, or do you categorise, you know, certain tracks that weren't official, like remixes and lives, you know, lives tracks on B-sides and things like that. But no, we've just gone for basically every recorded track that was on an album, B-side, etc. And we're doing polls on all of them. So we put them into 128 tracks, 32 groups of 4, and Mainly Oasis on Twitter has been putting them out 4 a day. And yeah, so far we're about halfway through the first round. We've already lost some big tracks. Most of the big ones have got through, to be fair, because the top 2 in each group of 4 is going through. We seeded them, so there's you know, so it means that you don't lose a big, you don't end up with, you know, Wonderwall, Rock and Roll Star and Live Forever in the same group, you know. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. So make sure you're following me on Twitter to get that through. A little bit of news that it'd be nice to let you know. You might have heard me say in the interviews on here before, or if you follow me on the social media, that a little while ago Bonehead blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why, it just happened. One day I sort of tried to search for him and it wouldn't let me look at him, and I saw that the reason why is he'd blocked me. I don't know why. I can only assume. I've never said anything rude to him, or I've never slagged him off on the podcast. I think his part that he played in Oasis was absolutely really important, and after him and Gwigsy left, I don't think Oasis was ever the same again. So I don't quite get why he did it. I can only imagine that I had tagged him a few times sort of saying, oh, you should come on the podcast, Bonehead, and people kept retweeting that and liking it, as often happens. And so he probably just got sick of it, is what I'm thinking. But anyway, I checked the other day, and I'm not blocked anymore. He hasn't followed me, but at least I'm not blocked. So yeah, so hopefully I've got a bit of an in with Bonehead, so we'll see how that goes. And then also just let you know, Chris Hutton, the original singer of Rain, I've tried to get him in to do an interview. He's followed me back on Twitter, so I've been able to sort of send him direct messages, but he's just not into it. He's just said, look, I've moved on. That part of my life is closed off. I'm happy living the life I do, and I just don't want anything to do with it. So real shame, because I'd really love to speak to Chris, get some insight into those early days of Oasis, but doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. The Finsbury Park tickets went on sale this morning. So I'm recording this on Friday, the 27th of October. And I managed to get to. So I will be there. So I'm going to be at Cardiff in May seeing Noel. And I'm going to be at Finsbury Park in June seeing Liam. So really pleased about that. And what I'm going to do is, close to the time, I'll put it out there and we'll arrange meetups, and we might come and buy a drink or whatever. So that'd be great. Just to let you know, there's a couple of huge Liam shows announced for Ireland next year. Just to say, I always get my news from Stop Crying Your Heart Out website, which is Stop Crying Your Heart Out blogs.blogspot.com, where if you follow at @SCYHO on Twitter, you'll find them, but that's they do a fantastic job. So Liam is going to be playing in Dublin at Malahide Castle on June 15th, and at Ormu Park in Belfast on June the 16th. So that would be great. Also, just to say that Noel is still playing in South America with U2. He's played a gig in Sao Paulo. And he's also just ramping up the interviews and things for the upcoming albums. He's also been interviewing Q Magazine, which is where a few of those more controversial statements having a bit of a go at Liam have come from. So I think that's about it for now. Let's move on to this interview with the legendary Dixie. So after this brief musical interlude, it will be me talking to Dixie.
I've hit record anyway, because often on these things you sort of end up chatting for about 20 minutes before you hit record and you think, oh Christ, I've missed all that good stuff. So I'll press record anyway, but yeah, but welcome to the Oasis podcast. Are we all right to call you Dixie or is it Pete?
Yeah,
or...
yeah, of course, that's what I'm known as.
Yeah, that is you. Yeah, there's a... I think there might even be a song called something like that. I don't know.
I think the years, and it's a shit one of that.
It's not. You've said this...
I can't stand it.
You've said this in interviews before. It's rubbish. It's a brilliant song.
Oh, I think it's the worst song you've ever written. At least Richard Ashcroft got cast no shadow when I get that.
No! Mate, that is a bloody... Mate, that is a bloody... I love... Well, look... You know, you can, the merits of it or whatever, but, you know,
Well, it's basically, it was already, the song was already written.
Yeah.
And Noel never had a title for it.
Yeah.
And we were down at the Real People studio one night and we were all just jamming and I farted. And I'm singing on the mic, guess what I had for me tea? It was lasagna, lasagna. And he's playing away on the drums laughing his head off. And then the next day he phoned and said... What was that? Were you singing last night? I said, oh, I don't know. I just made it up on the spot. He went, well, I've got a song. He said, so I'm going to call it Dixie Dinner.
There we go. That's spot on. But and as well, it's got that great line, hasn't it? These could be the best years of our lives, which
that's
is...
That's my favourite bit of it. Like,
that is special. No, but that's one of the things I love about Definitely Maybe and the B-sides is that, and definitely the what you guys, what your music's had over the years as well, is there's that humour. You know, there's humour in it, and there's, you know, like you don't get Coldplay or Radiohead singing about having a lasagna, you know what I mean?
It's just, well, I think that's what we, one of the first things why we, you know, we got on so well. I think, you know, we basically all had that, you know, same sense of humour type of thing, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Cool. All right, mate. Well, we've got that out of the way, so that's good. That's done. Sorted. What's going on with you at the moment, mate?
I'm in a band called The Sums. Don't
yeah.
Let you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I've done my research. Don't worry.
And we were due to record our third album, but our guitarist, unfortunately, he passed away last year.
Yeah.
Big Lee Watson. He'd been with me about 20 years. So we're doing a big memorial night. Us, the Real People, Dave McCabe. There's like just loads of people who knew Lee. So we're doing a big memorial night for him in the 3rd of November, which is already sold out.
All right.
We have a new guitarist, so we're just basically getting ready to start recording this next album.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No,
and I'm playing in Glasgow on Saturday with the Real People. I'm supporting an acoustic set with them. I'm supporting them in up in Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah. I just spoke to Chris actually because he's agreed to come on as well, and he said that he was just getting ready for Glasgow and then maybe give him a call, give it a couple of days because he's expecting it to be a quite heavy one in Glasgow, so he might have to recover on the one.
Well, then my cousin's auntie, so every time we do get together, it ends up being a bit messy, like.
Bit busy, but you So you do you see him quite a lot? Do you kind of, or is it just tends to be with the music, or do you pop round each other's house for a cup of tea and stuff?
The real peoples.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see them most weekends. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right, that's good.
I'll probably be seeing them tomorrow, and then we'll drive up to Glasgow on Saturday.
Yeah, fair play, man. Fair play. Well, have a good gig. I hope that all goes all right. And
yeah.
And I was going to say about the memorial show, because I saw that advertised, and but it's all sold out anyway. So
it's all sold out now. Yeah. Plus, we're doing the Shine Festival. Smaller, they're getting back together just for this one gig. It's Butlins in May. It's called the Shine Festival. It's all the bands from the 90s.
Yeah.
In November. So we're going to be getting back together just for that gig, right?
Yeah, I saw all, that. Because I think...
All the original members.
So it's the original members of Smaller, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, that's interesting. Because you've got... I know it's Chris Mullin is your main guy now in the Sums, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But then he also plays with Hurricane Number One now as well, doesn't
he? Yeah, so he's been helping Alex out from Hurricane Number One. I think they're on the same bill as well, so it'll be interesting.
All a bit incestuous.
I think I'll just go and boo them and he can come and boo us.
All a bit incestuous, all a bit jumping around. Yeah. No, well, I'm a big fan of your stuff anyway. I mean, Smaller, you know, and I'll pull it out, but I put it out there on Twitter if we had questions for you, and a couple of people have come back and said, oh, just no question, but just tell Dixie that Badly Badly album from Smaller was just fantastic and just didn't get the respect it deserved in the 90s because
nice one, mate. Yeah. Sounds cool.
But no, it was. I mean, it's a great album. I've been really enjoyed your stuff with the Sums as well. And I was saying about the humour in Oasis, I think that so much of your music has just got this very biting, clever, humour to it. That's, you know, just little plays on words, or you start an expectation in a line and then you just change it. And I love that. I love humour in music.
I think it's just I have a very short attention span, so either that or I'm basically ticked, you know what I mean? I can't be thinking anymore, just put that in.
Yeah, but even stuff like, you know, you would drop in little samples of things, or like I know in the last album you just go into a bit of I Want to Be Your Man by the Beatles and stuff, and it's just good, just mixes it up a little bit, and it is, I think in music often people take it far too seriously.
I think Noel's done that a few times in his songs, but I've always done, I mean, it's like... If you sort of, the melody is very similar to something that's inspired, you may want to use the melody as well to show, you know, to show you how long that's where that came from.
It's like they say, isn't it? Genius, what is it? Genius steals. Oh, I've lost the phrase now, but yeah.
Well, if you're gonna rob anything, rob from the best.
Yeah, exactly. Fair play. But I mean, growing up in Liverpool as you did, were the Beatles a big part of your life growing up?
Yeah, still are, I suppose. Yeah, you can't get away from them, especially in this city,
Yeah, but it's funny. I've got my wife's family's from Liverpool, and it feels like there's a bit more of a love-hate for the Beatles in Liverpool. Like, some members of the family absolutely love them and worship them, and then some are actually quite down on them, I suppose, because they left. You know, they left and buggered off to London.
Well, I think... I always say... A lot of people say, you know, Liverpool made the Beatles, and you know, I disagree. I think if the Beatles would have came from Pontefract or Timbuktu, it would have been the Beatles, you know. Yeah. So it doesn't make a band. It's just that they were, you know, they happened to just be born in our city, and I don't think they influenced their music at all.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think that the obviously with Liverpool, you know, I'm a big Beatles kind of obsessive, you know, but so I've read everything there is to read on them. But you know, I think the big thing with the Beatles was that it was the fact it was a port city and they could get hold of all these all these records.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Yeah.
And the fact that they, you know, coming from, I know that actually they weren't really that working class. I mean, they were fair, you know, they can play that up. I think they were relatively decent backgrounds, weren't they? But they were.
I think there was only Ringo really. I mean, all the others they were from the south of Liverpool.
Yeah. And so they weren't. But I think that they really did feel an affinity to the, like, the American R&B artists and stuff. That
Oh, yeah. And the Motown. But, I mean, it was just, they were a mishmash of everything, like, and done it really, really, really. I mean, you know, they set the standard, didn't they, I suppose, for songwriting and stuff and experimentation.
When you were growing up, were you big into music when you were a kid?
I'd say so, yeah. I think it was mainly, you know, I mean, my granddad played banjo. I mean, that us and the real people that we shared the same granddad. So our granddad played banjo. Then the real people's father, my Uncle Wally, he played guitar and he played the band in the 60s. And my mum, my dad went away to sea all the time because he was chief steward of the Merchant Navy. So my mum would go out on gigs with my Uncle Wally, that's Auntie and Chris's dad, and sing with them because she sang. So we were always sort of brought up, you know, with guitars and singing and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, that's great. And what about, did you have posters on your walls as you were a kid?
I was just into Mark Bolan.
Mark Bolan, yeah?
Mark Bolan, Slade, all the 70s, glam rock stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, fair play. And then what about you getting into music? I know you were in the you're in a band that had quite a bit of success in the 80s, weren't you? That Cooked the Books.
Yeah, I was in a band called Cooked the Books, and we had like a number one in France.
Yeah, which is crazy about that. I've watched a couple of other interviews with you, and that's just sort of mad how that came about, wasn't it? That you were very kind of political,
we had two lead singers. I sang and. My mate Owen, he sang as well, but some producer of some French, it was like a teenage movie, like love story type of thing, and it's called La Boom, but there's already been a hit in Europe. They made a second film called La Boom too.
Bah alors c'est pas fini? Je t'ai jamais dit ça, avec toi c'est où on se couche ou on se plaque?
Bah oui.
Tu me passes un coup de fil? Olivier a mon numéro. Vous voulez ce type?
Bah, me draguer, qu'est-ce que tu crois?
Tu sais qui c'est, Félix?
Mais non!
C'est un homme!
Ok, au revoir.
Il a quel âge, ce Félix?
Oh, c'est lui. Oh, vas-y, puis tu me diras comment il est habillé.
Il est en jean, de là jusque-là.
Oh, j'en étais sûre.
Mais il y a quelque temps, tu aurais été désespérée.
Comment tu sais?
Tu me dis plus rien, alors je devine.
Félix, je t'aime.
One fella came to Liverpool looking for a singer, and he just happened to hear us playing in a pub. And next thing we know, he was singing, and then we were part of the film. We're in the movie.
Yeah.
We never wrote it. It's a shit corny, cheesy, slow.
It is. It's so weird because your other stuff, like the it's very political, and then you've got all this like crooning. It's weird, isn't it?
With makeup on and fucking singing la la la, fucking we love you, all that shit.
But you were happy to just go, yep, fine, great. Who turned down that?
Because I mean, we were able to sort of because it was number one in a couple of countries and stuff like that, and we were able to set up our own recording studio.
Brilliant.
In Liverpool, you know, so we had somewhere to the air and record, and and we set up our own independent label for one of the records.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's great that you had that opportunity, really, and then you lived that pop star lifestyle, but in France.
That's it, yeah. Come back home, and you're fucking back on the fucking zone. No one knows it. It's like today, actually. It's kind of amazing.
But did you learn French? Did you base yourselves over there for a bit?
No. We were just sort of, we went over to film the movie, and then we were flew back over there every now and then to promote it on television shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
I cannot talk in French. Fucking hell, they have accents on us.
And I was looking it up. It's actually got Sophie Marceau in it in a very young role. Yeah, she went on to be in a Bond film, didn't she? She went on to be in a Bond girl.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but there you go. That's cool. Good. And then, I mean, it's a big jump then from the sound of, you know, I saying it in my posh South voice, Cook de Books doesn't sound as good. You've got to say Cook de Books, haven't you?
Cook de Books.
Cook de Books. But then the jump to smaller, which is you go straight into, you know, that I love the sound of that smaller album, you know, and it's got such that great Britpop sound. Obviously Noel plays guitar on the track.
Yeah.
But what I like about that, though, is it doesn't feel like, you know, in some things you get a guest on and it's, you know, if it had been bloody Slash or something, it would have sounded completely out of place. But it doesn't, you know, it sounds very much in tune with the rest of the album.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, Noel was always at our gigs anyway, do you know what I mean? He said that was one of his top 10 favourite albums and stuff, so...
I saw that. That was only a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we used to go and do gigs with them and they do the same with us, it was like... You know, we were basically, you know, just two guitar bands.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, I still got it. He gave me a guitar when he first got signed, an Epiphone, Epiphone Les Paul.
Yeah.
When he first got signed, he bought himself that. Alan McGee gave them a grand to tide him over, and he bought himself a guitar for £500. I think he bought fucking Liam a mic stand, Tony McCallum's drumsticks, with his bass strings. But I've got that. He gave me the guitar. I've still got the guitar. And Christie's offered me about £6,000 for it years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, at an auction.
Yeah.
And I was a bit skint one time, and I thought, oh, do you know what? So I asked them, I needed a letter, you know, of authenticity to say this is the guitar and blah,
just
blah.
For him, yeah.
And I got the letter, but the manager said, whatever you've been offered for it, he'll give you the money for it, but he thought you would have kept it in the spirit that was given. I thought, oh, no. You know, like, you felt really bad. So I've still got it. It's upstairs in my bedroom. I've still got the guitar. I'm never going to sell it.
Oh, fair enough, mate. Well, I was going to say, I know a couple of collectors...
It depends on if the place goes off.
Well, I was going to say, there's a couple of collectors that I know would probably just be... To quickly jump in to phone you up after that, because you know
you know what, after saying that, I'm open to offers.
You're open to offers, fair enough. Fair enough. But no, it's I mean, when did you first meet, obviously the real people guys were, you know, obviously that's your cousins, you knew them from what, childhood, I take it, but what about Oasis? When did you first meet Noel and the other guys?
The real people were signed to, I think it was Columbia at the time or something, but they had their own... I'm just putting a pasty in the oven here, hang on.
Go for it, mate.
Good job I'm not doing fucking lasagna. I met them at their studio. They were recording their first demos.
Hello?
Hello,
mate. Sorry, I lost you there.
I know, yeah. I was wondering what happened. I just put my pasty in the oven and the phone went off. Right, what was it all about?
Don't put your phone in the oven. Sorry, go on. You were saying that the real people were doing their demos.
Oh, that's where I met them in their studio. So then we used to go to Manchester and play the likes of the Boardwalk and little venues with them, and they come to Liverpool and reciprocate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do little gigs with us.
Yeah. And did you think at the time that this is like, these guys are special, or were they just...
I did actually, and I've never ever seen a band since, you know, like, I don't know, you know they've got something, but you don't really know what it is.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the purity, I think, of the straight rock and roll, you know, it was like... No, the chords were straight out of a song, you know, the guitar chord book, you know. There were no, like, sort of flares about them or invasions or anything like that. It was just like a breath of fresh air, I suppose.
Yeah, well, just because it was so simple.
Yeah,
fair
and
enough.
And Liam being Liam, I mean, you know, you couldn't take your eyes off him, man, but he never done that. He just stood there with his hands behind his back.
Yeah.
Just singing, you know what I mean? But it was like, he had that little order about them, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that they were, you know, that they got on so well with you and the real people, because was there never any Manchester-Liverpool divide, or was that always just cool?
Well, I think, no, not, well, yes, it was, especially in football and stuff like that, and even in the 80s, it was like, the Bunnymen and say, New Order, or, you know, I mean, bands always had that sort of competitive spirit and stuff, but I think... Oasis seems to have, like, maybe calmed all that down. It was like they brought Manchester and Liverpool together because they'd love coming to Liverpool. They got on with Scousers.
Of course, yeah.
And I think a lot of Oasis fans and then, they became sort of warm to it, you know. Basically, if you haven't got music, you know what I mean, to bring it together, then what have you got, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, the balls of them as well, for a Manchester band, to cover I'm the Walrus, right?
Them Scousers are going to come on stage and do a little song with us. We're going to have on stage the Bootleg Beal.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very ballsy move for, you know, I mean, a Liverpool band maybe even wouldn't even do it because you know, it just would be not seen as not the right thing, but yeah. But...
Oh, no, that's it. I think it worked in their favour because, a lot of fucking Scousers warmed to it, you know what I mean? It was like a big sort of, like, a tribute, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. And what about the other guys? I mean, so was it Noel particularly that you got on best with?
Yeah, that was always like sort of with Noel, I suppose. Only picked only through like sort of love of like songwriters and you know, Bert Bacharach and stuff like that. And we were always yapping them. I was into this like the Smiths and stuff, and it was that like affinity, I suppose. We had more or less like the same type of music, and I'd go to his flat and he'd get this and vice versa.
No, fair play. And I mean, what part of the... I interviewed Tony McCarroll on here, and we spent a lot of time sort of talking about how important the realies were to that early Oasis sound. I mean, I don't think they get enough of the respect. I think the people that know, but...
Yeah, that's it, exactly, yeah. I mean, at the time, we just got signed to Better Records, and that was all through Creation. Because Tim Abbott was like, he worked at Creation.
Yeah.
And then they weren't, Noel never really give them the credit, especially on a couple of the songs which Christopher had written.
Yeah.
And that's all I say. What was the name underneath the song? You know, it wasn't like anything really big, but the... Hello?
Hello, mate. Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Am I boring you or something?
Yeah. No, I don't know what it is. It just keeps cutting out, I don't know. But, But I don't think it's... Oh, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Well, so yeah, so we're just talking about the realies that, you know, they just really wanted to get that credit, really, that, you know, because
basically. But I mean, I think Liam gave them a good mention a few months back or something, I believe, on a tweet or something.
He did. I think he seemed pretty pissed, and he was on Twitter, and he was just sort of saying how important their stuff was, and, you know.
Tony's always been a big fan of the Real People, Tony McCarroll.
Yeah. I mean, the one that's crazy. So they do get a credit on Rocking Chair, you know. So they are co-credited as writers on Rocking Chair, yeah. Which is good. And I think Liam's even talked about playing that live when he tours again. So actually, that might be good for them. But
I mean, I can see Liam actually collaborating with them next year, I think.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good move for him because, I mean, you know, obviously the Real People are a big influence on him anyway, and they've got some great songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, and they do, you know, that's what they've been doing over the past few years is collaborating with other artists and stuff like that. They've got their own recording studio over in Birkenhead over the water. So, I mean, I'd like to see it, actually, them collaborating with Liam.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be great. I mean, that's one of the things that we were talking about on another episode was, you know, I don't know if have you heard Liam's album yet?
I've heard all the singles and stuff. I've not actually played the album in full, but I've really liked it. I'm glad his voice is back.
Yeah.
Because his voice was going terrible towards the end of Oasis. It was just terrible, but... Yeah, I made up his voice has come back.
Yeah, no, it is good. I mean, but one of the things we were saying is they've obviously gone for like getting these top songwriters in. You know, the guy that worked with Adele and other people.
Oh yeah.
And so, and but,
the fellow out of Cherry Ghost, is it as well?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
Yeah, so he's worked with good people, but we were sort of saying, well, wouldn't it have been great if he did a track with, like, the Real People, a track with Ashcroft, a track with, you know, just go back to, a track with you, you know, just go back and get...
Yeah, oh, maybe I'd jump at the chance.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd just be good, I think, to get... Because as much as I, you know, that the new album is great, but it's just lacking something that is just doesn't quite have that Oasis sound. It's a bit more studio... It feels a bit more studio, aimed for a big mass market, rather than that rock and roll sound that we want.
Yeah. If he wants that, he'll have to come back up north for them, won't he?
There we go. And did you hear when Peter...
Come back up north and then take us to Los Angeles and we'll do it there.
Yeah, fair enough. Fly you over for a few weeks. But yeah, no, fair play, mate. But with Smaller as well, I mean, I've heard that the second Smaller album is sat there unreleased somewhere. What's going on?
Well, we got halfway through... the second album, and the record company, they went into liquidation.
Right.
They just basically ran out of money, so the album was shelved and left. And then Mark Coyle, who produced it, you know, Mark. Well, he was recording at the same studio. He was down in Lincolnshire with this other band, and the boss of the studio said, "What's happened to Smaller?" He said, "Well, they ran out of money and like split up and type of thing." And he said, "Yeah, what's I'll do? Here's the masters." And he gave me the masters.
Yeah.
It was always about 16 grand or something like that. We paid like half the bill. And he gave us the masters. So I had the masters for ages. Because they were all on 2-inch tape.
Right.
And then there was a studio in Liverpool who had just got a 2-inch recording machine, but they didn't have tape. And I said, "Well, listen, if I give you this tape, we'll dump all the recording into the computer.
Yeah.
And then you can have the tape and record over it for studio time." And that's what we did. And then the hard drive, what the album got put into, that was blocked or something, and no one could get it out. Now my brother, Stephen, has just found a company in London that can salvage it all.
Okay.
And the guitarist, that's a Liam Gallagher's band. He's a scouser, or he's from over the water. I don't know the lad's name, but he apparently he lent us some effects pedals to record this album. He wants to mix it.
Oh, great.
Because that's what he does. He's got a studio down in London, and he's worked with a lot of people. And he's heard the actual monitor mixes, And he said, if you can get that, and just give us the files. And he said, I'd love to have a crack at mixing it. So that's the stage where we're at now.
Oh, that'd be brilliant if it's finally... Because you had the same problem with The Sums, didn't you? And that you had another album...
It's the story of my career, mate. I mean, it just goes tits up all the breathing time.
I'm not very good at making money. I'm not very good at pushing brands. I'm not very good at bringing on the bacon. I'm not very good at being a man. If you feel you don't belong in this place, tell them all that this is just a human race.
But you did manage to, the second Sums album went missing for a few years, but then you did manage to find it, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the actual demo.
Okay.
That we give to the recording studio to record. We paid for studio time with them tapes.
Yeah.
Of that second album, so it's all sort of sadly interlinked. You know what I mean? It's all like sort of by mistake, by default.
Yeah.
Like my career.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But what I was listening to the last Sums album the other day, and I'd completely forgot that Dave McCabe's on it. And that
track,
oh man, his voice. I mean, you've got a good voice, Dixie, don't get me wrong, but then when his voice kicks in, you just go, oh, what, you know, he needs to get back out there. And I know he's been doing writing and doing bits
and pieces. Yeah, he's been doing a solo album and stuff.
Yeah.
He's just writing and recording at the moment, so he's going to be doing this gig with us.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good.
It was funny as well, because the song that he sings on it, it's called I'm Not Very Good.
Yes.
Like, and the celebration of being shit. Like, but I couldn't get to the studio for him to sing his part like that, so I was playing in town. And he comes in, I said, where have you been? He said, I've been singing on your album, you lazy bastard. And then he phoned me the next day, he said, what's that song called? I went, I'm not very good. He went, you bastard.
That's about right.
Well, there's some things going off on the other side. There's nowhere to run, but there's somewhere to hide. If you want to pack your bags, then you cannot leave with me. Well, there's some things going other side, nowhere to run, but there's somewhere to hide. Wanna back your bags, and you cannot sleep with me.
No, I do like that one. It's like, I'm not very good at doing the washing up.
We have the same range, I suppose, our voices, you know, like
Yeah, but I really like, especially your voice. I mean, like we're saying about Liam's voice is a bit knackered, but it was. But I think your voice has definitely changed over the years since Smaller. But when you hit the high notes and things, there's a real lived-in quality to your voice, shall we say?
Yeah, I'd say that. I suppose.
You could tell there's been a life lived when you're hitting those notes and singing those words.
I don't know. I'm a granddad now. You know what I mean? So like the older I get, the more I love singing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I suppose, it's hereditary. My mum sang, my daughter sings. You know, it's just in you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think you can learn how to sing. You know, anyone can learn how to play an instrument, but I don't think you can either sing or you can't. Basically, I think.
Yeah, well, I think it's like, it's not just about singing, is it? It's about having a voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like one of my favourite singers of all time is Shane McGowan. Like, you know.
But
Shane McGowan is not your classically trained bloody
baritone.
Well,
same thing, because one of mine is Marky Smith, the Fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's that noise that you create, that comes out your gob.
Yeah, absolutely, mate, absolutely. Good. I mean, just going back to the Oasis side of it, Dixie, then. So you get the Dixie's Dinner credit, which is very cool, and I suppose has followed you around for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. It taught me to be great, that one.
And then you get mentioned again in Be Here Now, on the Be Here Now album.
Oh, yeah.
So your shit jokes remind me of Dixie's. And one of our, I can't get onto Twitter now to get it, but someone did say, I'll credit them afterwards, Can you tell us any shit jokes? Like, what was the, what were these shit jokes that remind that that was obviously so memorable?
I think what he actually means is that it is my songs.
But I mean, that's right.
I mean, don't think so. I just do reality. They just, I just don't know. They're not jokes. They're not fictitious.
And what was it? And the other thing I like is you get mentioned in the I think it's the Definitely Maybe documentary that they put out with the album, and you're in it quite a bit.
I can't even remember filming that. You know, I was pissed. They sent a car for me.
Oh yeah.
In the morning to pick me up because they were still filming in Manchester and took me into town. And the camera crew were delayed, so it was a bar down by the Albert Dock. So they just said, yeah, you have to wait here. Yeah, it's a free bar. So me and my mate just got sozzled. They didn't turn up until about 5 o'clock, and I was rotten. It's horrible. You know, when you're saved, I don't know whether you've ever heard or seen yourself when you're pissed. It's like, you know, you cringe, oh no, is that what I'm actually like?
He's a funny, funny fella, Chaos.
I'm just there to fucking take the drugs and fucking drink all that ale.
Brilliant. He's a brilliant songwriter. Singer, songwriter, amazing. But he sings these songs with possibly the most offensive, vicious lyrics about kids and women and fucking his mates and his next door neighbor. He fucking hates everybody.
So one night, fucking we're off our kicks, fucking nose on drums. So I'm just singing here, guess what I have for my tea, guess what I have for my tea, it was lasagna! And we're just going off our cake, Noel's laughing, Quiggy's on bass, Noel's laughing his tits off.
It was lasagna, he's screaming lasagna for ages and I'm flailing about the fucking drums.
Noel goes, what's that tune about lasagna? Do I know?
Went away and wrote, you know, I'd the tune.
No, goes, I've got this tune, fucking, it's got lasagna in it, can I call it Ziggy's dinner? Go on, son.
And he was fucking very, very upset at it.
I think it's the worst song Oasis have ever written. I fucking hate it, with a vengeance!
And he wrote one called Noel's Nose, or something, didn't he? Childish.
Well, that song, right, it's brought me many rounds. It's got me drunk in so many places. You know what I mean? Fire!
Oh, yeah, I did that. That's horrible.
But it's funny, and I think Noel describes being around you as opening a box of monkeys.
Opening a bag of monkeys, yes.
Yeah. Would you say that's a fair? Would you say that's a fair summation?
Well, after seeing the footage of the documentary, I would say yes, that's a fair account, yeah.
Fair play. But yeah, I mean, that's amazing to get not only one song, like no one else I think is mentioned once in the song, yet you're mentioned twice. I mean, is it just that you're that special of a person that they just keep thinking about
you? I don't know, you'd have to ask Noel that, like.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see Liam in Manchester in December, is it?
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to see Noel in London before that.
Oh yeah.
But I haven't seen Liam for years, but I speak to Noel every now and then on the phone, but it'll be good to see them and catch up again, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. And is it, I mean, you've spoke to Noel, do you think it's genuine? What's going on with him and Liam? Do you think, because there's
really... Oh no, it's genuine, mate.
It's genuine, yeah. Have they literally not seen each other since Paris 2009, do you think?
No, not that I'm aware of, they haven't seen each other, but everyone seems to think, oh, this is just a publicity stunt to sell records, but they don't need that anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think...
I mean, I'm a bit sad for them, really. I wish they would just, you know, just forget about it, because it must be hard on the bleeding mum.
Yeah.
You know, to see the two sons like that fighting it out in the press and stuff. I wish they'd grow up, like...
Yeah.
Mind you, saying that, I hate my brother as well, so... You know, who am I to give advice?
But you keep calling him a potato to 2 million people on Twitter, though.
Well, I don't know. I don't tweet.
You don't do Twitter, but no. Mate, you should do. I would definitely. We'd get you a few hundred thousand followers. I think if Diggsy was on Twitter, definitely.
Do you think so?
Oh man, you'd be brilliant on Twitter.
See, I don't even have a mobile phone or a computer. I have to go on Facebook. You know, like to sort of raise the profile of the sums. This is like 2 years back. My eyesight's terrible, and I've got a very short attention span, so. But I might have a think about that and have a word with Chris Mullen.
Do it, man. Do it. Get on.
You can set up a Twitter account for with us.
Yeah. But even like, I think even when Noel was doing his like blog a few years ago, he wouldn't even log on and write it. He would just send people like text messages, and then they would then update it for him. So yeah, no, I think you'd be the Twitter format is brilliant because it's only 140 characters, so you can it's just little one or two sentences here and there. I think you'd be great on Twitter, mate.
Alright, shall I have a think about that then,
yeah.
James?
Yeah, yeah. But there you go. Well, if you do, that's it. I'll get the credit then. If you get on Twitter, that's fantastic.
I'll send you the shit jokes and you can.
Yeah, we'll decide. We'll decide if they are shit jokes or not. No, that's good, man. So what's next? So you're going to go off and record this album then in the next few months?
Yeah, we're going to be doing it. Hopefully, we're doing. You know, have you heard of the pledge thing where?
Oh, Pledge Music, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing. We're going to have to try do that again.
Yeah.
Because we've got most of the songs written anyway. The plan was to do three albums.
All right.
Lee, and because Lee's died and all that gear, so we have to finish this album in memory and in the spirit of him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's called Mustn't Grumble. And if anyone can grumble, it's me. It's called Mustn't Grumble, so, and most of the songs are written for that anyway. It's just getting some money in so we can start recording it. And,
yeah.
And then crack on with some new stuff with the new guitarist, actually, as well.
Yeah, fair
play. And my pasty is about to come out the oven.
All right then, mate. Well, that's a good time to wrap it up.
Okay, kid.
But what's your we normally finish the I'll edit in an Oasis track to finish with. Is there an Oasis track that particularly means a lot to you, Dixie?
I would say, I remember playing What's the Story, More Than Glory for the first time in London after it was done. The Earl's Court, and we went to Noel's the next day, and I remember he played Hello, was it?
Yeah, Hello, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, that only sticks in my head, fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was a kid pulling this out of the air anyway, Noel, wasn't he? And one of my favourites is Up in the Sky.
Up in the Sky, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you call it. It's paperback writer, isn't it, or something like that.
It's pretty close, isn't it?
But it's a great riff. That I love that riff.
Nice one. All right, mate. Well, we'll end with a bit of Up in the Sky. But Dixie, enjoy your pasty, mate.
Thanks, James.
And enjoy Glasgow and try and take it a little bit easy, buddy. Yeah.
Right, I won't.
Dixie, all the best, pal.
All the best, lad. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye.
So thank you so much to Dixie for your time. It was really good to speak to him. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. What a thoroughly funny and interesting chap. And just to let you know, I've spoken to Chris Griffiths recently for an upcoming episode where he gave a bit of an update on that trip to Glasgow. And Dixie didn't take it easy, as he said he wouldn't. So we will be covering that on that interview with Chris coming up shortly. So let's move on now to the second part of Oasis A to Z, where me and Michael Hart are going to be talking about Get Off Your High Horse Lady. Now, as we talk about, it's probably one of the worst Oasis songs, or I think it is anyway. But please don't skip. Please carry on listening, because there is plenty of interesting stuff to say about it. And then hang around at the end, because I'm going to be doing some more shout outs to followers on Twitter and Instagram. So after this brief musical interlude, it will be over to myself and Michael Hart talking Get Off Your High Horse Lady.
Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we going out tonight. Put on your
Right, so here we are with episode 2, I suppose, of Oasis A to Z. And I love going through A to Z. I think it's the most entertaining way to do it because, you know, the first thing is Oasis A to Z is not A to Z, it's bracket to Y. Which is just bizarre, but you know, there we are. So we've done cigarettes in brackets as long as they've got closed brackets, cigarettes in hell, and we are now up to open brackets, get off your closed brackets, high horse lady. And so so just some basic facts on the track. So it is on Dig Out Your Soul, which is the last album. As I say, it's hard. It's one of those things that Oasis recordings haven't necessarily been documented, say, in the same way that Beatles recordings have. So we don't know when this was recorded specifically. We don't know who played on it specifically. We know that it was produced by Dave Sardi, as they all were. We know the lineup of Oasis at the time played on it. And you've got the credits of the Dig Out Your Soul album, which kind of give you a feel for who has played on it. But it's not like with the Beatles where you can say, oh, well, this was, you know, session two, 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock on, you know, the 27th of January. You know, we just haven't got that level of detail with Oasis. But what we do know about Dig Out Your Soul is it was recorded. There were two sets of sessions. In 2007, we had Abbey Road and then in Los Angeles as well. And so at some point, it will have been recorded in one of those sessions. There's stuff out there saying that Noel was quoted as saying it was one of the earliest songs written for the album. And and he said it almost didn't make the album, but because they felt that the bass was so heavy on it that he decided he would keep it. And I'm personally of the opinion that it shouldn't have been one that one's kept. I think it's one of the weakest Oasis tracks, and I wouldn't have it in there. But what's your view on it, Michael?
The first thing you got to remember is that, as far as I know, I don't know if necessarily the intention was to have it on the album in the first place. I think that, if I'm right, there was a couple of other songs that Noel wanted to put on the album, but because Liam, let's say that Noel is saying all these things. Allegedly, Liam couldn't get the vocals, or what was off doing something else, and couldn't put vocals on a couple of other songs, which led to them putting "Get Off Your High Horse" and. Maybe there's another song on Dig Out Your Soul that got put on there instead because these couple of songs that they wanted to do weren't done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically I Want to Live in a Dream in a Record Machine. And,
yeah.
Come on, it's all right.
Yeah.
Ran out of time, or Liam just couldn't be bothered, or whatever it was. Yeah, he didn't get to record the vocals on them. So which is a shame because, you know, obviously, I Want to Live in a Dream has then resurfaced on Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds, and is I think a really great song. But
it is.
But I just wish Liam was singing it. It's one of those other ones, the same as his version of Lock All the Doors. You just think, this is a Liam song. You know, fine, there's a lot of songs that Noel sings very, very well, but there's certain songs that would just be so suited.
They need to snarl, don't they?
They do. And you imagine him, Wanna Live in a Dreamer, Record Machine. Yeah. It would be perfect. It'd be brilliant. And it didn't happen, but...
It's the elongated vowels, isn't it? You know, anything that needs a little bit of drawn out A-E-I-O-U,
yeah.
Liam's your man.
He certainly is. Sunshine, as we talked about.
Exactly.
But so what's going on in Get On Your... So firstly, lyrically, there's not much to it. You know, there's about...
No, there's like three lines, isn't there?
There's like three lines, you know. And that line about... I mean, get off your high horse, lady. I mean, is it him moaning at his girlfriend? You know, like...
Yeah.
You know,
well, I don't know if this is something that gets spoken about a lot, but I mean the melody is, it is put on your high heel sneakers. You know yes. that song?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's that. It. I mean, you know, they get accused of nipping bits from lots of songs, but I don't know if that necessarily is one that gets spoken about a lot. And obviously, you know, lots of people have done versions of that song. Beatles did a version. Rod Stewart did a version.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, there's a lot of versions from this. Maybe the Stones did a version. There's a lot of versions from the 60s of that song. So. Whether consciously, subconsciously, has used that kind of... Well, I mean, it's just a bit of a nonsense nursery rhyme kind of melody anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a classic blues, isn't it? There's not yeah. a huge amount... You know, it's a classic blues sort of couple of lines, and you know, so you've got the verse, and then it just... Well, there isn't really a chorus, is it? It just then goes, like, no. lay down. And he just elongates the note, as we said, and then that's about it. I mean, so lyrically, I mean, I don't think there's anything to even. I mean, I think you'd have to really.
No one's finding reaching. Much meaning in it, are they?
No, you'd have to reach to find. And he says, your soul song singing. You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a bit lazy for me, soul song singing. Just say, High Heel Sneakers is Tommy Tucker, originally recorded yeah. 1963.
I think it was a thing that I think the Beatles definitely did a version, I'm pretty sure, and it's maybe might have even been like a Cavern Club song that they did, you know, when they used to do lots and lots of covers.
Sure.
But yeah, there's lots of different versions of it.
So.
And you know, lyrically it doesn't really have much more meaning either. Like no one's citing it as their favourite piece of meaningful text in pop music.
No, I mean, so it's get off your high horse, lady, I don't need a ride tonight. So I mean, is it a joke, like, about, is it like a sort of a half-hearted sex joke maybe as well? I don't quite.
Maybe yeah, it could be. I mean I kind of, to in my mind, and I think, I mean, Dig Out Your Soul is a great headphone album.
Yes.
More than probably maybe even more than any other Oasis album. Be Here Now is a great headphone album as well, because you hear
million things going on.
You know, many guitar parts that you maybe haven't heard before. But I think Dig Out Your Soul is a really great headphone album, particularly because obviously it's the bassiest album they ever did. And to me, I think the song, more than anything, lyrically it's nonsense. It's kind of like it's the midway point of the album.
Yeah.
It's the intermission, if you will. I think that album is really quite cinematic in the, the kind of vision that it maybe gives you. I mean, this is me. I see it as like, I see the album as a bit of like a, it's almost like a road movie kind of thing.
Yeah,
and this
I see
is
that.
Like they're out this song particularly, you know, they're out in the wilderness, they're out in a kind of environment not dissimilar to a lot of the things that Noel's done the last few years, you know, the videos from the first album, even the cover of the new album. You know, there's a lot of stuff out in the Wild West of America, I guess.
Yeah.
And I kind of see this song as like some kind of weird psychedelic trip through kind of that kind of landscape.
Absolutely, I think that's a good show.
So it's more.
It's got.
So it's more. You know, it's more to do with the feel of it as opposed to the lyrics, which is quite different to, you know, anything pre-Dig Out Your Soul. You know, they're going a lot more into grooves and how the music feels and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, I think that's part of the reason that at the time I was so disappointed that they split, because I kind of wondered what they were going to do after that, because I thought, you know, this is a totally new phase of the band. If this is what they're going to continue to do, and this is what they're eventually opening themselves up to, this could get really, really interesting. And I think that judging from the trailer for Who Built the Moon, I think this is kind of what Noel's going to be going for now. At least I hope so. This is kind of what I've always hoped he would do solo.
Yes.
Like more kind of along this line. Obviously not as you know, nonsense as Get Off Your High Horse, but, you know, something a bit more out there, a bit more challenging, instead of just like acoustic guitar, bit of drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, just looking at the chords of it, you know, you've got it's D minor 7, C, G, F major 7, all the way through, basically. It's a very, very simple, basic, you know, guitar song, as you said. So even in the, I mean, and it's very much split into two. So you've got the first part where it starts on this, it's just got this insistent kind of guitar going all the way through it. And a very
the
basic.
Hi-hat's really driving it.
The hi-hat, there's a big stomping bass drum in it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's about it. It just sort of plods along, and then you get that goes on for, I think it's about a minute 40, and then it does then kick in. It just does kick in a bit more, and there is then. I mean, when they say it's a bass heavy, there's not a complex bass work in it. There's sort of
no, not in this song.
No, it's just sort of, there's a big bass just going along with that big bass drum that's playing, really. And it's bottom heavy, but there's just not a huge amount going on, is there? And then there is that bit of, like, fitting in with, like, the Wild West side. There is that kind of percussion in there. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just something that sounds a bit kind of Wild West-y in the percussion, which is quite interesting. And then in the second half, it does then just kick in a bit more, so it's just got a bit more oomph to it in the second half. And then you've got Noel sort of backing that. He's kind of doing a waily sort of vocal in the background as well.
Piano.
Yes, and then the piano comes in, and then it has, there's like another, as if they didn't think it had gone on for long enough, he's managed to sort of drag out this huge piece over, you know, this nothing song really over almost 4 minutes, and then they have the officially sitting in this song is then there's that bit of like someone walking down a beach or
on the gravel, yeah,
on a gravelly, or like whether it's so they've shoved that in here as well. And then, as you said, this is the end of the first side of the album. So it's coming after I'm Out of Time. You get this, which is sort of a very slow and ponderous way to close. You know, I know most people don't experience an album in half unless you listen to vinyl. But you still, you know, if you're sequencing an album, that would still be in mind. And then the second side of the album starts with Falling Downs, which is, I think, a great way to start the, you know, start a second a side two. But yeah, so just a bit, yeah, unusual. I wouldn't have had it on the album. I probably wouldn't have even had it on a B side. Maybe like a bonus track, you know, like you know. But there's so many more things around that time that could have been on the album instead of it, like a Lord Don't Slow Me Down or a Boy with the Blues and things like that. There was other stuff there that could have been on there, and unfortunately, you know, as we've said on here before, like with when I was talking to Nick Amos about Standing on the Shoulder, it just feels like they've gone, yeah, that'll do, chuck that on. Yeah, that'll do, chuck that on. And you think, no, come on, like you've crafted these things, you know. Don't you think that you should actually spend a little bit more time and pick these a bit? But anyway, there we go.
I mean, the only thing with that would be, there's always probably time pressures in terms of, you know, you've got to finish the album because you've got a tour coming up. You know, it's not like they're a cottage kind of thing where you can just put on a show straight away. You know, their tours get booked for, you know, so far in advance, and you know, things have to get done before, you know, got to get the album done, got to get, you know, everything done. So maybe there was time pressures in that regard. I mean, yeah, for me, it just works in terms of setting up a vibe, basically, in terms of that part of the album. It's, you know, it's it's kind of a middle point from the start to the end of it.
Fair enough.
More about the vibe of the song. That's I guess that's probably what I'm trying to say. It's more the vibe than
it's the vibe. Yeah, I get it. And actually listening to it, you know, on headphones and actually listening to it and paying a bit more attention to it in the last sort of having done this, I have given it a little bit more appreciation, not much more, but a little bit more. But no, it's still one of my least favorite Oasis tracks. And the results of my sort of poll on it have bored that out as well. It's had 37% of people chose 2 out of 5, 30% 3, 24% 4, 9% of people chose 5 out of 5, and that's the thing.
I think I maybe put it as 4.
You put it as 4. I think I've put it as 3 or 2. 4. And then just having a look at the comments, basically. Richard Bowes, who writes for the website, said, which is patreon.com/oasispod, very much filler, which is literally was because Liam didn't record Vox for Record Machine, so hard to judge beyond that, bang average. Joe Ryan says, I think it's even more damning on Noel's behalf. Oh, fuck it, that'll do, should have been the name for the album.
Yeah.
And what else have we got? Chris PT says, it's a great example of plagiarism. There's loads of others before with... Oh, hold on. Chris Petey says it's a great example of plagiarism. Food Man Beard says definitely a what were they thinking moment. Noel's vox are brutal on that one. I think I'd like it more without the vox, to be honest. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that. There's a lot of production on Noel's vocals on this one, isn't there?
There's a lot of echo
on it.
I think that really embellishes the atmosphere of it, though. I think you know, they're trying to do something a bit different, a bit not what's expected or not what they've done before.
Rustic?
On that album, whether it be
rustic, maybe?
Sorry,
I was going to say rustic. It's almost like having the, it's almost like the vocals being recorded could be like a 1920s, like a Robert Johnson sort of thing, kind of going with the whole dust bowl.
So there's a bit of a bluesiness to it.
Yeah. Mark Ovrani said Liam Gallagher should have sung it. David Walker says, I'd give it 1, it's bad. I'd even forgot this song existed till I saw this. It's hard to go into detail. You hear it and just know it's a bad one. Huh. Grandpa Batman gave it 0, and then 4 sleeping emojis. Chris Burgoyne gave it 1 and said bad. S. Dotsum7 said, meh, ponderous, slow, repetitive, and a bit forced folk psychedelia. Almost felt like a rough Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds demo.
Yeah, that's true. I think that, you know, to some degree, to me, it kind of, that and maybe a couple of the other songs on that album really signal where Noel ends up going, you know, in the years since then. obviously his lyrics on pretty much all the songs on the last two albums have been you know, a bit more thought out and a bit more articulated and a bit, you know, more words and stuff. But it to me, it does kind of have a bit of a in retrospect, it has it's a bit of a signpost to to where he goes. And I think, like I said, probably to where I think he's going to go with the new album.
Yeah. Yes. No, definitely. Who else we got? Daniel Best said, not that bad. Sunday Morning Call, now that is bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that in about a year. Clarkey says, it fits the feel of the album. Would love to see where they went from it. Good shout. Adam Burling says, it sounds like more of an interlude than an actual song. That's exactly what you said, Michael. When NG had so few tracks on the album, it's hard to believe this made the cut. Who's this? Supernova Dragon said, easily one of the worst Oasis tracks of all time, one of the worst Noel has wrote, and the awful production only ignites my hate for it. Joe Ryan 01 says, one is about right, filler, barely a B-side. See, we're getting a picture here, aren't we? Let's do a couple more of these. Darren Russell said, awful song, up there with It's Getting Better, Man. It's Getting Better, Man's great.
That's a great song.
There you go. And Charles Echo says, should have ended after 2 minutes 20 and first 1 minute 40 is dull. Okay. So that gives us, what, about 40 seconds? I think I could have coped with just about 40 seconds of that song. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for those comments. I do really appreciate it. I'm sure there was a stack more when I was talking about this previously, when we were talking about Cigarettes in Hell. But, I think that gives us a good picture of where we are. So, good. All right.
And you know, the other thing you pointed me in the direction of that I'd forgotten about was the Devendra Banhart remix of it.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I think is actually quite good.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, the other thing about Dig Out Your Soul, of course, is that really, like, in that era, that's the only era of Oasis where they kind of embraced the idea of a remix. Like, they had all sorts of people remixing songs off that album, which, you know, previously, of course, Noel was like, well, you know, all these other bands fill their B-sides with remixes. You'll never get, like, remixes of Wonderwall and stuff like that. They were so anti that kind of that kind of way of presenting their songs.
Yeah.
And so for them to then embrace the idea of a remix, and, you know, I guess remixes by 08 were so different to just adding
a boom
over it. You know, it really showed that, you know, they were willing to give things a go that they probably weren't willing to give a go to before.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some really interesting results. Obviously, the Amorphous Androgynous falling down, and Primal Scream do a really good remix of Shock of the Lightning.
Right.
But the Devendra Banhart one of Get Off Your High Horse, I think, is... It gives something more to that song than it probably even deserves, I guess.
Yeah, it makes it. It's still, you know, it's still got the same problems that the Oasis version has got. You're not going to change the song itself, are you? It's still going to have that. If you don't like that song, it's not going to change it. I just think he added a bit more to it and a bit more nuance to it, maybe with his with his playing. So yeah, so let's have a bit of the. Devendra Banhart version. Good. All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else to say on that one. Is there? I'm surprised we managed to get that much time out of High Horse Lady. And yeah, well, thanks for taking one for the team. When I said we're going to do these A to Zs, and I'd like to actually talk to other people on it, because it was me on my own on Cigarettes in Hell. And I think everyone said, oh, can I do Master Plan or can I do whatever? And it's like, can someone do Get Off Your High Horse Lady, please? Because that's next. So, yeah. But
well,
Yeah, so thank you.
That's all right. Anytime you want commentary on obscure Oasis B-sides or album tracks, I'm your man.
Yeah, well, I think we'll get you back. Well, it's probably going to be like a year down the line, but Mucky Fingers then, if that's your name.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
plenty to say
I
about
do,
that
I,
as well.
There is plenty to say about that one, and another really good instance of you know, Noel taking things, and using them for his own purposes. Let's say that.
Yeah. Cool. Good. All right. Well, I'll let you go and get on with your day, and I'm gonna go to bed. So.
Yeah.
All the best, man. Thank you so much for your time. So we got through that one, pleased to say. Next up is going to be I Got the Fever, and that's with a guy called Brandon Arend, who you'll be hearing more from. And then after that, it's Good to Be Free, and then we're into some really good stuff. You've Got the Heart of a Star, Acquiesce, etc. So look forward to further installments of Oasis A to Z. One of the things I said online the other day was I've been watching Instagram a little bit. I don't do a huge amount over there. As you all know, my Twitter's the main thing. But I do do a little bit on Instagram, and I was at 199 followers. So I said, look, anyone can follow me next and get me over 200. I'll give you a shout out on the podcast. And then 40 people followed me in the space for a couple of days. So I'll just give them all a shout out, which I said I would. Graham Jackhill, Manuel Fee, Irene Sinti, who's Irene 90 Mayer, Pagan 81, Jennifer Holland, who's Canthagophone, Anthony Nile, Ant.Naz.2, Peter Brown, P Brown 1, Lee Ryder, Mr. Ryder 177, James Cuff, Gillian Hilton, who's Hilton.Gillian, Kimberly Murray, who's First Chief Ruler, Liam O'Hare, George Eaton, James Clark, Scotty 2583, Duncan Edwards, Dinky _ Duncan, Amy F. Spot, Jay Warsfold, Dom Smith, Colin Hassard, Swiftly Tilting, Scott Mahidi, Brian DeStoop, Judy, who's Yang Yajing, Juliana Gross, who's Gross Juliana, Stephen Pogue, S Pogue 2, Alan Hara, who's Selikara 28, Rochi, SL Rochi, Bobby Faghihi, who's Bobby _ Faghihi, JJ Do _U _travel _JJ, David Dugan, David Dugan 81, Darren Joyce Muso, Eric J. Peterson, Tao Yiran, who is Echo _Psycho, Nick Feldman, Nikolai 9, Supersonic, Oasis Tribute, Oasis Tribute Net, Jack Ryan, who's Jack Ryan _1996, Jan and Sasha, Jan Dankers, Abby, Abby Joe 97, Scott Stringer 81, and Cheryl Waterman, who is Chez French. Thank you all very much for following me on Instagram. And please, the rest of you, if you're on Instagram, then follow me over there or Twitter or Facebook. It's all appreciated. So I think that will do it for today's rather epic episode with various bits and pieces that we've done. And thank you to the patrons, Amy, Dana, Davey, David, Fraser, Jason, Mark, Michael, Richard, Sovesh, and Casey. So, yeah, we've had, as you might recognise, a few new names in there. We've had a few new patrons this week, which is fantastic. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see that I recently sent out some Patreon rewards. The first one, which a couple of vinyl albums went out, a couple of Oasis vinyl bootlegs have gone out. So if you support on Patreon, depending on the level you support, you may well qualify to get a bit of merch posted out to you. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is also where I post articles by myself and my wonderful contributors Richard and Kyle. We've also just put up a new article from Kyle about places to visit related to Oasis in London, and there's a couple more of those to go up in the next few days as well. So do follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, just at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com. T-shirts are available at TeePublic, and please subscribe and review us on iTunes. We have had one more iTunes review on the UK site, which just says top podcast by Opium Smoker. It just says thank you. So you are welcome, Opium Smoker. So coming up next time on the podcast, we've got Brandon Arend, and after that we've got Anjali Dutt, and after that we've got Chris Griffiths, plus there's some really other great names that I'm looking to get booked in, so it's going to be a really good run of episodes between now and Christmas. But as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young.